Good morning, church. This is a first here. but I hope what I've got to share, which has been on my heart, is something that will encourage and challenge you too. So what you prayed is correct. It's been something that's been spoken about a little bit, and even this morning, the new song that Geraldine chose was a very good song. And the thing I want to talk about is corporate worship. When Gene Olin came, he spoke about worship on the Saturday night. And then when Kyle was there, he actually spoke about corporateness. That's how he said it. But it's like being together and being church and coming together on a Sunday. There are many reasons why people are not going to church on a Sunday anymore. There's loads of reasons. But there are also loads of reasons why we should go to church on a Sunday morning. And one of them is because of worship, worshiping together as a church and a body. So I'm going to just pray and then we'll get going. And I hope my accent won't be a problem. Hey? Anyway, okay. Lord, we thank you that you are here and that you're a good father and that we can look to you and that we can worship you where we're at. And that there's a lot of freedom. We also thank you that you have called us to great things. That you haven't called us to be small people, but to be big people. To know the power that we have in you. To know the authority that we have in you. And to be able to walk, knowing that where we walk, we can claim that land for you. And so I just pray that as we speak about worship today, that you'll inspire us to worship bigger than the room, to worship for our city, this Dungarvan, to worship for Ireland, and to really start being intentional about our worship as a church when we come together, about our corporate worship, to be intentional about it when we do it. Thank you, Father, that my words are clear, my accent is right for everyone, and that you will speak through me. Amen. Okay. Often, especially on a Sunday, when you get into doing things again and again and again, they become a habit, which is a good thing. That's how you establish a habit. But they can also lose their meaning. And I was just thinking about religion the other day. I don't know who I was talking to. But religion sometimes is cleaning your teeth when your toothpaste is already finished. But you keep on cleaning your teeth every day. You know, you do it really well, but the meaning's gone. You've got no more toothpaste on your brush. So often when we go to church, or sometimes, a lot of the things we do lose their meaning because we've forgotten or we've laid aside what the actual purpose of it was. Now, that can often be done with worship in a church because it's something that's done every Sunday. You go in church normally, there's a welcome, and then you sing, and then you stop, and then there's the announcements. You know, we follow the same pattern every Sunday, and it's easy to lose the meaning of what we're doing. So, but worshiping God is a very, very important reason of why we come to church on Sunday. So the reading that I'm focusing on this Sunday is 2 Chronicles 5 from verse 13 and 14. So it's where the temple that Solomon built was dedicated. Now, David had the dream. He wanted to build a temple, but God said, no, you mustn't. So I didn't realize, but David had got all the materials ready. He probably had the plans and all, and Solomon was the guy who organized building it. So let's read from verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Okay, we can stop there. So the first thing I want to look at is something that Carl touched on, but it was when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising. So that talks of unity. Now, when you're worshiping God on your own, you don't need unity. It's just you. But the minute you're in a group, there's a need for unity. I've joined the choir. I've been there for about a month, the Daisha Singers. And we were singing a song, and it's quite a big choir. There's nearly 60 people. So it's a big group, and there's the sopranos and the altos and the tenors and the basses, all your different voices. And we were singing a song, and it was called, it's Elijah Rock. It's a biblical song, and it uses the word conjurer, except the music only allows for two syllables. So you have to sing conjure, not conjurer. So we all sang it, and somebody sang conjurer. So in a group of nearly 50 people, say, 49 said conjure, one said conjurer, and the musical director was like, what was that? And she said, sing it again. So we all sang it again, and we could all hear this one voice going, conjurer. So we you could hear that it was a male, it was a guy. So she said, okay, all the ladies quiet now, just the men. Conjurer. There was this one voice. And then she said, okay, no, it's not the tenors. It's the basses. Somewhere in that group of bass vocals, they had to sing it again. Conjurer. Eventually, she separated them into groups of three and made them sing it again, because this person just didn't realize what they were doing. And eventually they found it was. It was very funny. This dear old man, you know, he was just doing it because it is the right way to say the word. But in that instance, he couldn't. But it was amazing how in a choir, in a group, one person doing something different stands out. It's amplified. It's not hidden. That's why unity is so important, because you can't hide in a group. You actually stand out. So in our choir, we have to we have to watch your hands to end our words all at the right time, because otherwise you hear like one person saying "st" too early or something like that. So that's just an example of how important unity is when we come together. I'm not saying that it's important to sing in unity. Unity in worship isn't about the vocals. Unity in worship is about your focus. So that's very different. But to all have the same focus is what's so important. So when we read in 2 Chronicles here, it says they were all as one to make one sound. And the words they were singing is, for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, so their focus, they had one focus. And their one focus was God. It wasn't the song. It wasn't the singers. It wasn't about what people might be thinking about you, self-conscious of the people around you. It wasn't what you were watching other people doing. It wasn't what you're planning to have for lunch, after church, your thoughts going all over the show. The focus was God. Okay, and I think we haven't realized the power of unity, because that's what Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed, when he prayed, he prayed for unity, that they may all be one, you, Father, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That was in John 17. When Jesus prayed, he prayed for unity, because unity is so important. And in worship, one focus, focusing on God, is what is so important. That's where there's power. That's when the Spirit came. That's when the manifest presence of God fell, and there was so much glory around that the priests couldn't carry on doing what they had to do. So you wonder sometimes if there was real unity in our worship, what would happen? What would happen? What would we see happen? And I know that Gene Oland, when he spoke the other day, he was saying the first instance of worship, the first time it was used when Abraham and Isaac went. Well, God had been speaking to Abraham and said, "I want you to sacrifice Isaac." So then, when they were walking up the mountain, he told the servants to wait, and he said, "Isaac and I are going to worship." That was the first use of the word worship, and I can. Yeah. And so Abraham was focused on one thing at that time. There was no other, he wasn't thinking of, you know, his animals or whatever. He knew what he was doing, and it was consuming his thoughts. The thing that he was walking in obedience to God to, the thing that he was going to be sacrificing Isaac, that consumed his thoughts. So he was focused on one thing. The other thing that unity brings is it brings a lot of freedom. When people aren't focusing on 100 other things and they're not focusing on each other, you can worship God, you can declare his goodness, you can praise him, you can thank him, and everyone's doing it together. You don't have to worry about being different or doing something different. You can respond to God in the way that you're made to, because everyone's looking in one direction. Everyone's focusing on God. There's a lot more freedom if you are not having to be self-conscious about what other people might be thinking or even doing. Okay. And in Revelations chapter 4 from verse 9 to 10, it says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne." So their response in worship is they fall down and they cast their crowns. They are not thinking about what's going to happen next. They are just responding immediately to God and they're worshiping him. Okay, so what happens when we worship God together? I've just got one or two things and then I'm going to just talk about what our response should be. So God's manifest presence comes. So the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not carry on ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So we know that God is with us all the time. We know that he's always here. But sometimes we're not so consciously aware of it. It's the same as we happily live. But when you go for a run or something and you exercise hard, suddenly you feel your heart beating and you feel your breath. So you're much more aware of your body. You're much more aware of the fact that you breathe. It doesn't mean that you weren't breathing before and you've only just started now. You've been breathing all along, but you weren't aware of it. Now, so that's physically. So spiritually, we know that there's stuff happening all the time around us, okay? But we are not constantly aware of it, okay? But when God's manifest presence comes, then we are. Our spiritual senses are heightened. Sometimes we know what's going on, sometimes we don't, but we can feel that there's something that's changed, okay? So if you compare what's happening when you feel your heart beating and you're breathing after exercise, that's what happens in worship. The manifest presence of God comes. So it's not like God wasn't there before, but you are more aware of it. It's not like you weren't breathing before, but you are more aware of it. Okay. It says there, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So, when God comes, you can't carry on doing normal stuff. You can't. Like, if God had to walk into this room, we would not just go, you know, whatever. You know, we would not carry on doing normal stuff. If he had to knock on our door one day and say, "Hi, can I come and stay with you chaps for a while?" You know, we would not do things like we normally do. Suddenly, like, it would be totally different. That's God's manifest presence. And why is it such a big thing? It's because when his presence comes, when we worship God, he is enthroned in our praise. It says in Psalm 22 verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Okay. And when you appoint a king, he establishes his kingdom. So when you read through the Old Testament, you hear so-and-so became king and he did evil in the eyes of God. Blah, didn't work out. So-and-so became king and he did right in the eyes of God. And then they say a little bit more of what he did. So every king establishes his kingdom. Okay. So when we worship God and we are focusing on him and he is lifted up in our worship. Okay. He is enthroned in our worship and he establishes his kingdom. And what does God's kingdom look like? In Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3, and Jesus also quoted this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. This is what God's kingdom looks like, to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So that's God's kingdom. That's what he establishes. He establishes freedom. He establishes healing for the brokenhearted. He establishes breakthrough. He brings breakthrough for those people that are trapped. He establishes favor, the acceptable year of the Lord. He establishes comfort for those that mourn. That's God's kingdom. And that's what happens when God's presence falls in worship. That's what happens in worship. Because when the manifest presence of God is here, the Spirit can move freely. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's what we are declaring and trusting for Dungarvan, because that's what they need. They need freedom. Another thing that happens when we worship is that God fights the battle for us on our behalf. Somewhere else further along in Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 13, the king at the time was Jehoshaphat, and they suddenly had their worst enemies were now coming to fight them, and they didn't know what to do. They knew that they wouldn't win if they tried to fight, so they went to God. And I'm going to just read from verse 13. It says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zerachiah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Now Asaph was the guy that David used to give all his worship songs to. In the midst of the assembly, so they were the worship leaders. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, and this is interesting, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. It's almost the same as what they said at the dedication of Solomon's temple. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So worship is a weapon of warfare, especially when it seems that the odds are stacked against you, and you don't actually know what to do. So the people of Judah and Jerusalem, they knew that if they fought, they would lose anyway. So they went to God. Because God is enthroned and his kingdom is established in worship, the enemy can't stand. So when you don't know what to do, worship. Because God's kingdom comes and the enemy can't stand against God's kingdom. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you worship, you change the focus to off of you to God, and he can reign and he can bring his kingdom. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So that's our heritage. So if you don't know how to fight, worship. If you don't know how to respond to a situation, worship. If you don't know how to pray or what to pray, I mean, you can always pray, you can always speak in tongues and pray, you know, let the Spirit pray for you, but worship. For me, one of my experiences of worship was, I won't even tell you what it was, but there was a terrible loss in our family, and I was on that Sunday for worship, so we had to go to a practice. And I could easily have said, no, it's just been too hard. I don't want to go. I can't just bear the thing of, I can't go. But I've always said that if I'm needed for worship, I'll go. So there was no real reason for me not to, except this thing that had happened. So I went to worship practice. And our keyboard wasn't the greatest keyboard, not half like this. At our church, and the one particular sound guy on sound, his philosophy on sound was just move buttons. So it was also a bit interesting there. So it was often quite challenging, the practices. But this particular practice, I can't even remember if we practiced songs, but all we did was worship in the end. We just played. And we didn't sing. I don't think we sang. The keyboard sounded amazing. It's never sounded so amazing. And everyone in our worship team were like, oh, what's happened? Like, what has happened? What is happening? But after that worship session, I mean, they didn't know. I didn't tell them what it was, what had happened in our family. But after that worship session, that pain of that loss was gone. Like, I'm still sad, and that, but that, like, raw kind of pain was gone. And that was only during that worship session that God met me. And that's because his kingdom was established, and he brought comfort to those that mourned. So, anyway. Okay. So we know that God is powerful, and worship is powerful. So what should we do during worship on Sundays? What do we need to do? Well, we need to take it seriously. Okay. In 1 Chronicles 13, from 1 to 14, it covers the story of when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And we all know the story. They popped the Ark on an ox wagon, and the ox wagon dragged it in, and it was going to tip. And the guy nearest there went, oh, you know, you can't. And what happened to him? He died. And David was upset. He was cross. He couldn't believe it. He had really felt that this is what God wanted, and it was what God wanted. But they didn't do it the right way. You see, when you put your hand in a fire, you're going to burn. And when you touch the Ark of the Covenant, you're going to die. There was nothing that God could have changed from that happening, you know. They hadn't done it right. The Ark of the Covenant had become a box. It was not seen as the Holy of Holies anymore. And they were too casual about how they did things. When David saw that it was Obed, whoever had was left with the Ark of the Covenant, when he saw that that man was being blessed, he realized, actually, God's favor was on this. What did we do wrong? Because we're doing the right thing. So what did he do? He read up and he realized it shouldn't have been carried on an ox wagon. The Levites needed to carry it. And he went back and he did it the right way. And it was brought into Jerusalem. Because David realized that you need to take it seriously. Now, God is a holy God. And we need to be serious about worship. It's not something you do casually. It's not just random songs that you sing. Because if you wanted to have the power, if you wanted to have the power of the Holy of Holies, and if you want to see him come, then you've got to be serious about it. And know what you're dealing with. God takes it seriously. We should too. There's so much of God's power that's so freely available, but so much of the time we are just too distracted to even reach out and grab it. And one of the places where we can really access God's power and his presence is through worship. So, and the other thing is that God really wants to be present with us, and he wants us to feel his presence. I mean, he is here all the time, but it's different. When you round with somebody that you know, that's fine, but when you give them a hug or something, you're feeling their presence. And God is wanting that. He's wanting his manifest presence to be with us. Jesus died on the cross for that. You know, he made a way so that we could be with him. The other thing that we need to be on Sundays is we need to be intentional. Okay, when David assigned worshippers, so now David set up the tabernacle in Jerusalem. When he assigned worshippers for the tabernacle of David, it wasn't something that they did just accidentally or whenever they felt like it. It was their job. So they got assigned that job. That was their job. It was intentional. Worship is more than just having some music playing in the background. It's more than just standing around chatting while other people are singing. To be effective, we need to be intentional. In the New Testament, when you read about the woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? She reached out and touched Jesus' garment. She was intentional. There were thousands of people that had touched him before, but unintentionally. So when she touched him, power went out from him because she was intentional. But nothing happened to all those other, many other people that touched him unintentionally. The other thing is, worship's not about being a fantastic singer or anything. As I said, Jean Olin said, the first mention of worship, there wasn't even music. Okay? Music is often there to focus our attention, actually. I mean, when you look at movies, if you watch a movie and there's this very emotional or very maybe scary part, just imagine that same scene running with nursery rhymes playing in the background. It would totally ruin it. Okay? That music is focusing your attention and your emotions into what's happening. Okay? So worship has music. And it had music, David, you can worship on instruments, but that's not to be a distraction. That's to help focus on God. Okay. The other thing about worship is that we know that there's an immense power in our words. So what we sing and what we declare, can change things. The secular world knows there's power in our words. That's why there's a massive self-help positive thinking industry. They know. We know. We should use it because we've been given the true power, not the false power. The words of the songs we sing are important. We should sing them like we believe them, until we believe them, if that's necessary. It was like what Geraldine was saying. Sometimes you've got to sing it again to get it to go from your head into your heart, to start believing it. And in Isaiah 55 verse 11, it says, so shall my words be that go out from my mouth. They shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. The one song that I've watched for a while, is the song, I think it's Jonathan Hessler's The No Longer Slave, the No Longer Slave song. I'm no longer a slave to sin, to fear. I'm a child of God. Now, that song, it was so weird. Our very first service that we came to here, you sang it, Joshua led, I think, and you sang that song. And we used to sing that at home a lot. And we went on holiday once in South Africa to a very tiny town, like 8 hours away in the middle of nowhere. And we went to church for one Sunday and they sang that same song. It was like everyone is singing the song. This song is like the anthem of the time. And why is it? It's because it speaks to identity and fear. And that's what has been happening in the world today. There's an identity crisis globally. And this song says, I am a child of God. There's fear globally because there's so much unease. And what does it say? I'm no longer a slave to fear. So this song is going to be sung for a time to come because it speaks into the areas that speaks into what's happening. So there is immense power in the words of songs. And you can sing them and declare them as truth. That's also why that it's also very good to sing the songs that are written in your country. Because there's a power, in singing the words that are birthed in the place. Because they relate to where they're born. So, it's not to say you can't sing songs written somewhere else, but there is a power that you can actually access if you sing songs that are written in your country. That's pretty much it. I don't know how long I've spoken for, but I just want to share a few stories. Currently, South Africa is in a serious drought. Okay, it's been like that on and off for years now, but a few years back, while we were needing rain, and I know in Ireland rain is a pain for the most part. In South Africa, rain is a blessing. We love it when it rains. Okay, but we were needing rain in our city, and as a worship team, we decided we were going to sing rain. We're going to sing rain songs. So we sang Rain Down. You know that worship song, Rain Down. So the evening service, we just sang this. We worshipped it. And by the time the message was being spoken, there was thunder and lightning and rain. And I can tell you now, it's weird. It's amazing and weird and freaky and scary and all sorts when you're sitting in a service. And I don't know, thunderstorms happen suddenly. They happen quite quickly. So you can have a beautiful day. We're going, beautiful day, and then suddenly there's like the wind picks up, and there's this like, I don't know how to explain it. There's this feeling of something's coming. Literally, you can feel it in the air. And then you just see the clouds build up, and that's what they call thunderheads, where there's normally like massive billows of white cloud. And then you will get the lightning and the thunder and then the rain. So there's always, the thunder and lightning often happen before the rain starts. So it wasn't an overcast day, but there was a thunderstorm. So there's nothing like listening to rain, knowing that you worshipped rain. Another time we were, this was even more hectic probably. There's a big issue of child trafficking in South Africa. Very big issue. There's syndicates and that it's terrible. And our church, we had set aside a day to pray into it and just worship and pray. And prayer is very powerful. I'm talking about worship, but I'm not undermining the power of prayer. So we did this. We had a special time of prayer and worship. And the next week on the news, there was a man who was, he wasn't in our city anywhere like that, but he was a kingpin in the underground, in like the drug world and child trafficking, and he had been killed. Now, we never worshiped that he died. But we did worship that the authority, that we did change the atmosphere in heaven. We worshiped a changed atmosphere. And suddenly what was protecting that man fell. He was not protected anymore. And he was key in this massive child trafficking syndicate. And that is also a very scary thing when you realize, wow, you know, there is power that we have no idea. We've got no idea what God can do when people are obedient and they worship him and they change the atmosphere around them, the atmosphere around wherever, you know. Another thing we did, we started praying and worshiping for our city, and the manager of a hotel was coming to church, and he said, well, do you want to worship from the top of the building? Because it was quite a few stories up. So you got a really good view of the city. So we were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we wanted to go to the presidential suite because we knew Jacob Zuma would be going there at some stage, you know. But we couldn't. We went to the honeymoon suite, which is also interesting because it was on the other corner, but it was the top suite. So we could go out onto the roof from there. So we worshipped in those rooms, and then we also worshipped out on the roof, and we declared stuff and we prayed over the city. And I mean, most of the time you don't see any results, you know, but the manager said, like, even the staff that went in to clean, they were like, whoa, there's something funny about this room. It feels different. And that was because God's presence was lingering. It was still there. So let's worship to a new level. Let's worship with expectancy for something amazing to happen. Aiden goes to Beaver Scouts, and they come to this hall on a Monday night. And let's worship so that one day when we come and drop him off, we find all the Scouts leaders just like weeping and, you know, just saying, God's in this place, you know, what's happened, you know? And we can say, and it'll be because God's presence has lingered here from our Sunday service. We can believe for that. That's what will change our city. And, well, I keep saying city. What is Dungarvan? Town. That's what will change Ireland. And the thing with Ireland is that, and this is not in many countries, actually it's very much not in many countries, but Ireland has seeds of God planted. You know, St. Patrick, and you read all that from so long ago. I mean, in South Africa, our history doesn't go back nearly as far as that, not even close, you know. There are seeds in the soil, good seed, but there's a lot of muck on top. So it's not like you're having to plant seed. You're just having to clear to get the seeds to grow. They are there. But we do need to worship and we do need to pray because there's a lot of muck. I mean, even on Sunday, we went down to that beach, that rocky beach, not Clonae, the one just on the corner. And there was a group of people lying in the grass and someone playing a drum. And it was just like, oh, you know, when your spirit inside you just goes, this is not right. There's muck, you know, but there's also seed, good seed. And we can worship and we can change the atmosphere around Dungarvan and bring salvation to this town. And next week, I think we must put out all the chairs in faith. Because if you're not expecting anything, if you're not expecting, you won't have a baby. Yeah, that's it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God and that you're expectant for great things because you are fully aware of the power there is when people come together and dwell together in unity and worship together in unity. And God, I just pray that we are inspired and encouraged and challenged to worship you in a new way, to be expectant to see great things, to be expectant to see salvation, the salvation of this town, to be expectant to see people coming in. They mightn't even know why they're coming here, but that we will be worshiping you in a way that they meet with you even before the message is spoken. Lord, we know that you're a good God and a good Father, and your heart is for every single person in this town. And we just ask that you give us the strength and the courage to be obedient children, to do what you ask us to do, so that together we can reach this town, Dungarvan. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I just want to say, let's finish worshiping God together. We've done that before. We actually had the worship team when we went to the bandstand. We had very few people there singing, but we were there. We did that twice, and the second time was in the middle of a storm, gale force, and it was heavy, big storm, cold. But it actually, the next day we had sunny days, and then we had people coming up to us and Steve and say, something happened. It changed the atmosphere of the town. It shift. And I do believe everything when they sing. Absolutely. That's God's words. That's our responsibility. That's our partnering with God, our devotion to God as we actually intentionally worshiping. Let's do that together and change this area and worship.